Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
And welcome back to hour number two of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN Radio 102.5 The Game, Nashville, Tennessee. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson here with you today. Darren is on vacation. Well, this is usually the time of the year where you have that free agent frenzy in the NHL. Now it's a little bit different if you're covering the league, and we've got one of the top writers out there. Mark Spector is with us, columnist at sportsnet.ca. Been writing about the league for a long time. And Mark, I really appreciate you coming on with us today because I know at some time here, the other shoe might drop here. We're hoping for a good announcement, I guess, right? Maybe a big announcement about the CBA and the return to play and everything, that final step.
Yeah, excuse me. It's kind of funny how a lot of things got wrapped up in this stoppage. You know, when we were all sitting at a hockey game on, and I don't recall if Nashville played on March 11th or not, but I was covering.
We were in Montreal on that Tuesday, the 10th, and then we flew to Toronto that night. So we were actually in Toronto getting ready to play the Maple Leafs on the 12th. And in fact, I was watching the game. It was Winnipeg and Edmonton were playing that Wednesday night when the Gobert story came down.
That's it. So we're all sitting in the rink, and the Gobert story comes down, and then the NBA says they're stopping, and we're watching a hockey game that we quickly begin to realize is the last hockey game we're going to watch for a long time. And you know, no one could have predicted all of everything that happened, obviously, but in terms of, you know, league business, it really, you know, it's become now not just about getting back playing. It's, you know, they've had to change so many things inside their CBA, you know, all the contracts that expired as of midnight last night, right? All the, you know, the players are due major signing bonuses starting today, but there hasn't been any revenue for a long time. You know, the draft hasn't happened. So many things have changed that they've really found that you can't just go in and tweak a couple things. It really became a time to take a run at the whole CBA. And any sports fan in any sport can tell you when the players and owners start talking about rejigging and extending a CBA, the word expedient doesn't come to mind when leagues start to figure out their labor agreements.
Well, I guess in that respect, Mark, I was really encouraged that they may be on the verge of extending the CBA for 3 years. I never thought that would be possible with all of the things that they've been trying to tackle here that you just kind of laid out.
Yeah, you know, if this comes off, and it really very much sounds like it will, and with a couple big things in here, like, for instance, Olympic participation in hockey, that's been a huge, huge issue. But, you know, the players want it, every fan wants it, but frankly, it's been a ripoff for the NHL owners because the IOC is, you know, very proprietary about their Olympics. Let me give you a quick example. Roman Josi is going to go to the Olympics, and he's, you know, one of the best players in our game. And he's going to play for the Swiss team. And when the season, you know, the Nashville Predators are going to take off almost 3 weeks in the middle of their season, so all that can happen. And then when they come back to play in Nashville, the fan that goes to a Preds game, he can't even buy a Roman Josi Olympic jersey in the Preds store because the IOC won't let the NHL sell jerseys. You know, and the Nashville TV station can't show highlights of Roman Josi scoring goals in the Olympics because that footage is also proprietary to the IOC. So, you know, I get why the owners have never wanted to go to the Olympics. It's just bad business for the owners. But if they can solve this CBA, if they can get back playing here in these two hub cities and have labor peace for a few years and then throw in a perk like being at the next two Olympics, which every hockey fan's best tournament in the world, I think we're all doing pretty well considering the situation that started all these troubles.
No question. So, Mark, you're based out of Edmonton, have been for a while. So Edmonton is going to be one of the hub cities here. Give us a little bit of what you understand the campus to be. I've been there a few times, that brand-new hotel that is adjacent to this palace of a rink they've built. I know that is a great place to start, but I'm envisioning 12 teams. So how will it work with the 12 teams on that campus?
Well, it's a good question. Like, what Edmonton doesn't have is a hotel like Vegas where you can put 2,000 people in it. You know, they've got the JW Marriott. It's brand new. It's you know, world-class hotel. There's a walkway, and the players will have a private sidewalk or walkway with no public access between their room and their dressing room at the rink. There's an adjacent practice rink attached to the arena here in Edmonton, which makes it very appealing. Teams can do their morning skates on the practice rink and play the game that night. They'll have to use a couple other hotels during the qualifying round, guys, when there's 12 teams here. But once the qualifying round is done, they feel like they can get everybody inside that JW Marriott, at least all the players and all the teams. So, you know what? The bubble here in Edmonton is because of the fact they've got what they call this ice district downtown, and it's in. They built the rink, and then they started opening up hotels and restaurants. They've got a real good bubble here, for sure. They've got a world-class arena because outside of Detroit, it's the newest rink in the league. And being a smaller Canadian center, our COVID numbers here are way, way, way less. And although, like everyone, we're starting to see a little bit of a bounce back here in Canada, comparatively speaking to the United States, it's not even close when you're talking about health and safety of players. So it's the only thing wrong with Edmonton, guys, is it's Edmonton. And players go, oh, man, whenever I come to Edmonton, it's 25 below and it's dark and it's January. Well, in the summertime, it's actually quite nice here. I live here. It's light until you hit a golf ball till 10 o'clock. And it's not a bad place to come, but that's really the only thing that's worked against Edmonton, guys, is this perception of, oh, man, if we go to Edmonton, you know, it's cold and dark. Well, in August, it's not cold and dark. It's actually quite nice here.
Mark Spector is with us from Sportsnet, and I'm going to preface this by saying that it's changed every day, so nothing at this point really surprises me. But one thing we have discussed is it felt like forever that it was going to be Vegas and then another city, that Vegas, you know, whether it was early on in the NBA discussions that they were going to have some involvement, and then of course the NHL, just because of the setup of that city. So when news started to trickle out that it would be Edmonton and Toronto, did it surprise you at all that Vegas was no longer in the mix?
Okay, so that's a good question, and I think it surprised a lot of people. But I want to say this. To me, Vegas has never – I've always thought – I've seen this COVID situation coming. Let's be clear. The thing that stops Vegas here is the growing coronavirus situation in southern Nevada, right? It's going, yep. You know, like some states down there. You guys know all this more than I do. It's going through the roof here. I thought that was the most obvious call. You know, let's talk about Vegas, right? We all love going to Vegas, man. Vegas is a blast. The city model, right? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So who's going to Vegas over the next couple of months? In my eyes, the people that are going, people who are sort of mask wearing or people who are very observant of the pandemic, the last place they're going is Vegas. I'm not going to Vegas, and I don't consider myself to be crazy on this thing, but I certainly would not go to Vegas at this point. The guy going to Vegas is the one who says, hey, they shut all the bars in my state. They're making me wear a mask. Come on, honey, let's go to Vegas and have some fun. So
I think there'd be a few of those, no question.
Yeah, to me, the very essence of what Vegas is, and let me say, what we love about Vegas, right? Vegas is a special, cool place because you go there, you let your hair down, you have a good time, you gamble it up, and you go to some bars you'd never go to in your own town. That, to me, does not run concurrent with trying to keep a pandemic in order. So the fact that we've hit the point that Vegas is just, you just can't look yourself in the mirror and say, we're going to Vegas because it's safe. That is no surprise to me. I personally thought this was coming down the road for a long time. So having said that, Vegas just couldn't hang on to their pandemic numbers, even though it's a great place to put the NHL. They can all stay in the same hotel. The bubble would be tight. You just, players, finally, guys, what happened here was a lot of the NHLPA started to say, okay, hold on here. The coronavirus is going crazy in Vegas. And by the way, it's 40 degrees there in August and September. So we can go to Edmonton. We can play a game of golf. We can practice at 10 in the morning. Our team can have a golf day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We can all tee off, and we can play a lovely game of golf. We can have dinner and go to bed. Can't do that in Vegas. Anyone in the States knows that. You can't play a game of golf at 2 o'clock in a 40-degree day. So it became about mental health, getting outside, enjoying the outdoor air, and it became about the pandemic, and Vegas just couldn't meet the measure on either front.
So one thing that we've discussed, Mark, you know, we've seen it with the NBA, we've seen it with you know, a couple of other sports, of players that may be hesitant to live in a bubble and to come back. And we feel like that's going to happen. That's going to come, whether it's they have a family member that's susceptible to the virus or they themselves are high risk. But how much is too much? If too many players or bigger names or whatever, do you think that that could derail this at all? If you have some that are just like, nope, not going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically speaking, sure. If Roman Josi and Connor McDavid and Carey Price and Henrik Lundqvist all said, I'm not playing, you know, and Jonathan Taves and go on and on, Vladimir Tarasenko, if they all quit on this thing, everyone would take a look, step back and go, I guess what you'd say, guys, is you'd say, what's the Stanley Cup going to be worth if a bunch of the best players aren't playing in it? I'm going to say this, though, that this is a double-edged sword. Hockey players are, frankly, they're fairly conformist. They don't stand the big thing about, you guys interview hockey players. No, in that sport, players are less likely to stand out from the crowd. They generally go with the herd a little more. So I'm not saying it can't happen, and I'm not saying there aren't guys that are nervous. But I guess what I am saying is my history of working with the different sports and different players is we're less likely to see hockey players look all their teammates in the eye and say, sorry, boys, I'm not coming. If it happens, I'll be respectful of it. I'm not saying it's the wrong choice. But what I am saying is history tells us that's less of a problem in hockey than most other sports. Is that fair?
No, absolutely. And what you said is so true. I mean, hockey players are so easy to get along with and to cover on a daily basis. Because of everything you just said, it's just they're laid back, and I love that about covering the sport. So speaking of covering the sport and covering sports in general, the last 3.5-4 months we've had nothing. How excited were you that the hockey gods, or however you want to put it, gave us the chaos that is the draft lottery with Team E getting the first overall pick?
You know, they wanted a news day. Right, they wanted a hockey news day, and that's really why they put. They easily could have sat on this thing till after the qualifying round. Let's face it, guys, it's a studio show. It happens in a half an hour. They could easily have played out the qualifying round, got down to the 16 playoff teams, and then had it. But the NHL said, "No, we want a news day. We're going to throw this thing in there. We're going to have these unknown, teams with letters." And I'm not going to say it blew up in their face because they end up getting a whole bunch of. You know, everyone's talking about it in the hockey world, but it's kind of goofy. I'll say that. It's kind of weird. We've got Alexis Lafreniere, the best player in this draft by some margin, is going to Team E. And now we all got to try to figure out who the hell Team E is. And if that Team E is Edmonton, the hockey world's going to be apoplectic, oh. Right? Because they've had their share of first overall. So it's goofy, and it was probably unintended. And it was a bit of a risk for hockey. And I guess I'll tell you how it turns out when I find out who gets to pick this guy.
Yeah, and I guess I understand I've read pieces and watched on TV of, okay, well, it's not fair that you're going to have a team that has no business having the number one overall pick you know, what if it's a Pittsburgh or even a Nashville, you know, that ends up with it. I get that part, but they had to do something, and I guess I'm glad that they had a plan in place and it gave us something to talk about.
Well, listen, there's an overarching conversation here on the draft. Like, I'm a believer. Brian Burke's been very vocal, surprise, surprise, about this. And I agree with Brian in that, to me, the top pick should go to the worst teams. Like, I personally think that those, you know, what do we have here? This year we've got seven teams that didn't make this qualifying round that just simply aren't playing, right? The Buffaloes and the San Jose's and LA's and Anaheim's. I believe that those seven teams should be the only ones that get a shot at the top handful of picks. You know, any situation where, well, they have, let's say the Edmonton Oilers, they come in as the top team in the qualifying round in the West, right? They're the best team. They're the number four ranked team. You know, if they used a different system, they would have been number three, and I think Dallas would have been number four, but whatever. They use point percentage. Edmonton's the best team. If we have a system where Edmonton, who's got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, two of the three were number one overalls, if they get this kid, it's a bad system. That's all I'm going to tell you. They shouldn't get the guy. It would be, frankly, bad for hockey. So I prefer a system where the best draft-eligible guys go to the worst teams, and we may see a system this year where the best guy, Alexis Lafreniere, goes to a team that finished like 3 points out of the division lead in their division this year. That to me doesn't sound right.
Yeah, that is a potential issue for sure. So, Mark, as we let you go, do you think we get news today? Do you think there's an announcement?
Oh, that's a dangerous question, man. We've been, you know, you could ask me that question any time in the last 2 weeks, and I said, oh, yeah, there's a good chance. So, you know, it's coming down to it. Like, we do have deadline pressure. You know, to me, in my eyes, guys, they've decided on the hub cities. They're Toronto and they're Edmonton. They've decided that the Eastern Conference will play in Toronto and Nashville and the Western Conference will play in Edmonton. To me, those are done deals. But it's an overarching CBA announcement that we're waiting for that's going to include all this stuff. And, you know, if you're going to tell me to predict when the day that labor negotiations are going to get wrapped up, I'm going to tell you my odds of being successful on that are pretty poor. So I hope it's today, but you won't catch me predicting anything at this rate.
Gotcha. Hey, Mark, thanks a lot for the insight, as always. And we're looking forward to this. We got our fingers crossed that we keep progressing here. I know the guys in Nashville have been cleared to skate. They're doing the small group thing, and hopefully they'll get it cranked up on July 10th as scheduled.
Yeah, Willie and Chase, been a pleasure talking with you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. That's Mark Spector, Sportsnet, senior columnist, great analyst of the NHL. If you go up to Canada ever, or if you ever get a chance to get access to Sportsnet, I mean, he's one of those studio guys that you look forward to hearing from. When we come back, we might go back into the topic that we had last hour, the category. I wish we had a little more time with Mark. I know we hit him with a lot of stuff there, but I would have been curious to see who came to mind in hockey in this category that we discussed, the Penny Hardaway category of greatness early, injuries curtail your career but doesn't end your career, and you keep playing as more of a pedestrian figure for quite a while post-injury or post-issue, whatever that issue was. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more in just a moment here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.